access to capital, to close the gap in access to capital that has persisted for far too long. The man I'm going to bring to this stage now is also one of those revolutionary voices who is fighting to be able to close that gap. The theme here is Black audacity. There is nothing more audacious than to step in a realm full of academics with no academic background and take over. There is nothing more audacious than leading your people and letting them know they cannot stop us from entering this field of financial literacy, financial capability, financial capacity. It is my honor to bring out the one and the only. Let's stand up and make some noise for this man, Wall Street Trapper.
Just to be here, I definitely don't take none of these stages light. I understand the importance of what we're doing, what we aspire to do, but most importantly, what we have the capabilities of doing. It's my first time in VA.
Welcome! Welcome! Welcome!
It's my first time, and I had a situation this morning where my barber got sick. And I was like, it's all right. I'm in VA. It's gonna work out. And so I wound up getting a barber this morning, and I was talking to him this morning, and he truly like solidified why we are here. Mm-hmm. It was excellence at its finest. I DM'd him. I said, hey man, I need a haircut. Can you meet me in my room? He was like, no problem, Trap. He came, cut my hair, and in the minute of cutting my hair, he shows me a brush that he created with the cologne in the inside for men. Right? And I said, that's audacity.
Yeah. Mm.
I said, that's audacity to disrupt the current status quo. And so what I want y'all to understand, why we here today, first of all, again, I am thankful for you all to have me here. But the reason why we are here today is because we come to renegotiate a contract.
I say.
We've come to renegotiate that. We've come to disrupt that status quo that has consistently undermined and consistently dismantled, deliberately dismantle the belief system that we have in building wealth in this country. I want you to understand when I say deliberately, consistently, repetitiously work that, chipping away and dismantling our belief systems. So when I think about Virginia, I'm like, okay, like this is so essential to the progress of Black people in America.
I say.
So we look at people like Oliver Hill, Brown versus the Board of Education. Pivotal moment in our culture that often gets overlooked. Fighting the system so that we can be educated properly. Because he understood that information is the fertilizer to our wealth. The information that you fertilize, the information disrupts the soil, and the information gives birth to a new beginning. Disruption. And then we look at a beautiful woman by the name of Maggie L. Walker.
Yes.
Disruptive. Audacity. Becomes the first Black woman. So not only does she disrupt the racial part of it, she also disrupts the gender part of it. Putting us in position to say this is how we disrupt the status quo. And then we get a young entrepreneur by the name of P.B. Young, who has the audacity to say the news and the representation of my people needs to be told in a different light. So he becomes and he creates the biggest Black-owned press in the world, in Virginia. Mm-hmm. So when I look at that, I say, oh, this is culturally embedded in this system. This is rich soil we standing on. This rich, this fertile. But are we good seeds? Are we good seeds? And the one thing I've learned about a good seed is it has the potential. Let's talk about the potential before we even get into anything. So we're looking at an acorn. We see the acorn. But if we don't understand what it is, we disregard the potential it has to be an oak tree. Hmm. So we look at an acorn sometimes and we kick it up the street and we don't really pay it no attention. We might step on it. We might pick it up and throw it. If you're where I'm from, you're lucky to even see the acorn. That's a whole nother story. But the problem is we disregard the potential in the acorn. And then we disregard what it takes for the acorn to become the force of an oak tree. How many of us seen an oak tree before? You ain't just moving no oak tree.
No.
You ain't just like pushing oak tree. The important part about an oak tree is not just the potential, but what is it rooted to? So I'm gonna ask you, how deep are your roots to what you say you want? The work you put in will validate your faith in something. And what I've learned about validation, what I've learned about disruption is everybody in here via entrepreneur, via wealth builder. What I've learned about that journey is you must be able to make a decision in the moment where you disregard your old belief system and adapt a new one. I don't think we understand that. Like, you must be able to disregard the old belief system. Okay, let's make this make sense. Okay. So we already said that in the beginning, we said that deliberately dismantling your belief system. How many people we know they okay with where they at? Mm. Right? Like, you on a wealth-building journey. You on a journey to teach your people something new. You on a journey to expose your people to something new. And every time you try to tell them, they're like, yo, I ain't with that. That's white people stuff, man. Yeah. We know it. Mm. Right? And then what we do is we consistently trying to beat that into them. You're doing this wrong. You're not doing this right. But what happens is they are comfortable in dysfunction. Yeah. One of the things that we've adapted is we've adapted the mindset and we've adapted, we've become immune to dysfunction. And so now when you're trying to be functional, you look crazy to dysfunctional people. You're like, I ain't crazy.
You look crazy.
But to dysfunction, so here's the thing. Anytime we are walking in anything other than what we are supposed to be in, we are walking in dysfunction. So I want you to understand, we are here. This weekend represents something so amazing. This weekend represents a shift in that status quo. This weekend represents the stands that we take. So I come to you today daring you to challenge that dysfunction. I come to you today saying that the wealth that you build, the business that you build, must be a cathedral that restores freedom. The portfolios that you put together, the assets that you gather, they must be a storehouse of shelter. But not just for you. One of our biggest issues and one of our biggest problems is we walk through the journey acting like an individual entity. This is what I want to do. This is what I plan to do. And here's where we walk into dysfunction at. Because the other ethnic groups that have consistently, the other ethnic groups that have generationally put their counterparts and the generation, they never walk for themselves. They've always thought about the people that come behind them, even the ones they will never see. Mm-hmm. We don't think that far. Because for us, it takes so hard and it takes so long. It's so frustrating for us just to get to break even. To break even. That I'm tired. That I've done it all. I've maximized my effort. What happens when your best ain't enough? Then you must do what's required. When what's required is more than your best, you gotta be willing to move forward. How do you break that gravitational pull? That thing that anchors you to where you come from, the thing that anchors you from the failure, the thing that anchors you to your financial trauma. How do you move forward? So I'm not like the most scientific person. Like, I'm from the hood, born and raised, right? Like, so you speaking about science, the furthest I can go is probably like Bill Nye, the science guy, right? That's the best. It's the best you're gonna get out of me. Once that stopped coming on, my fascination with science ended. But what I did realize was that science says that in order to break the gravitational pull of something, you have to further the distance between the two objects. You gotta get past that. Now, the thing about furthering that distance between gravity, what we understand is that gravity doesn't just let you move forward. The gravitational pull means that we must go against the grain. We must go against the force. That won't be easy. We got to move forward, forcefully overriding weak answers, reestablishing dedication. Forcefully overriding weak answers, reestablishing dedication. Forward. What does forward look like? So we think about forward. I always like to use the Bible because the Bible has so many amazing stories in it that we can relate to. Forward. Gravitational pull. That brings me to the Israelites. Israelites, they frustrated. They fatigued. They mad. Tired of making bricks without straw. Pharaoh got me working 18 hours a day. I can't be happily married because I'm a slave. So Moses comes along and he has this vision. Let my people go, Pharaoh. And the people want that. But what happens when they get in the middle of the desert and the gravitational pull of where they come from is greater than where they said they want to go at? What happens? Moses, have you brought us to the desert to die? Are there not graves in Egypt, Moses? The gravitational pull. The connected to dysfunction, the connectedness to trauma. So now we trauma bonding. Moses, what is this manna that you give us? I want leeks and onions because I don't like this. My palate ain't right for this yet. Gravitational pull. What happens when what you say you want confronts what you want to get away from, and what you get away from is so anchored in your belief, you'd rather go back to it. Okay, let me rephrase that. You got to change for what you say you want, or we got to change what we say we want. Okay, let me dig a little deeper with that. Your dedication to the progress determines the process. Okay, let's
do it.
What happens when the feeling that we say we want something is no longer there and all we got to do is commit, but we don't got the commitment because we used to dysfunction. Now you got to have the audacity. That's what today is about. Listen, I saw y'all last night. Y'all looked amazing. I was trying to figure if I could wear my jumpsuit in. I was like, I don't think. I said, Jose, we ain't fit for the fight tonight. We ain't dressed. Then you had Queen Ashley Anna there. I know I can't go in there with her. She killing it. So I said, we going to just stick to the hotel room. We going to just order legal seafood and come. We good for the night, bro. That's our cadence tonight. Right? They look amazing up in there. But what happens after the clothes? Like, what's underneath that? What's the ambition look like? When you take the dress, when you take the shoes and the cologne, like what the ambition look like. Like we look good, but are we fit for the fight? Uh-oh. There's an $86 trillion wealth transfer that's happening. We look good, but are we participating in the game? $72 trillion going in just assets. What, we look good, but are we participating? We okay with being broke slaves. We okay with saying, yo, I won't be free, but the shackle, if I put a diamond in it, I'm good, because it looked like that's a rich slave. Like, you good. But what happens when what you appear to be doesn't match what you say you want to be? It be like, trap, you can... Why you don't be showing us? Show you for what? Who am I impressing? Right. I got generations behind me that got to be free, and their freedom is predicated on what I do now.
Yes.
If not you, then who? If not you, then who?
Exactly.
If not you, how many generations will still endure the same pain? And here's what we understand for sure. We understand that it will only get worse. Financially, our people are just going through it right now. The last 3 years, we still like, you coughing. I'm like, whoa. I got trauma. On top of trauma. Right? We see it. Seeing people lose their job, we seen people lose their home. We see America say, hey, I got an idea. Let's put $6 trillion into the economy. But guess what? During the pandemic from 2020 to 2022, the wealthy people of America increased their wealth by $5 trillion, while the poor people now had even less money. They was now living check to half check. They had more money than money times two now. So now in 2023, we're looking at 40% of Americans and 60% of black Americans now work two full-time jobs. Hmm. One is enough. Right. One is a lot. One is too much. Like, I gotta go to this job. Okay, my business owners, what I realized even during this moment, our business owners, we having a lifeline that we on. Because we realized the money ain't funneling into the economy like it used to. So a lot of people who I saw saying it was 6 and 7 figure earners, now they just look like it, but they ain't it at the core. At the core, they 9 to 5. And ain't nothing wrong with that, but what happens is when we ain't equipped for the battle, how we gonna win the war? So the information becomes the artillery that helps us win the war. Are you fit for the fight? Do you have the audacity? That's a key word today. Audacity. One of the things, okay, here's a reference. One of the things I love about Peter, right? So Peter had audacity. Like he wasn't the smartest. Like he wasn't the most knowledgeable, but he had audacity. All right? So we always talk about how Peter told God, if that's you, Lord, like bind me to come to you. But what we don't talk about, and I talked to my guy Jose about this, we don't talk about the audacity he had to just walk on the water. Like, I ain't tripping. I'm like, what's up, big homie? Yup, just tell me as you, I'm walking. I ain't tripping. And then we get mad at him for losing faith. But what happens when we've lost faith a couple times? You can't even say you won't be successful if you ain't lost faith a couple times. I know you lying if you say I ain't lost faith a couple times.
Okay.
You ain't real. Because at 3 o'clock in the morning when none of the business ain't going right, you like, bro, should I really be doing this?
Right.
Should I be going back to the job? Let me call Queen Ashton right quick. Let me see how you doing. What system you got in play, Queen? Because this ain't it. It ain't working for me. I need a back office or something. Email, phone. You got to tell me something because I'm thinking about going back. So you got to have audacity. You bold enough to have audacity, a little loss of faith happens here and there. That's why we got to keep going forward. Because the last part of forward was reestablishing discipline. Reestablishing. Proverbs 10 and 4, diligent hands build wealth. Diligent. It didn't say the strongest. It said diligent. What is diligent? Consistently doing a act until I get it right. Diligent. We ain't diligent enough on the process. We ain't diligent. And let me tell you something. All my successful people know this. Consistency ain't enough. Because you can consistently do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Right. Am I lying? You can consistently do the wrong thing. So now we got to outbox. We got to be bold enough to think outside the same box that's prisoned us. We got to be bold enough to go outside of what we thought was right. We got to be bold enough to say, I don't know. We got to be bold enough because what happens in a world of 100% knowledge, 10% of it we know, 10% of it we don't know, and now that's 80% of the things that we do not know, and that 80% will take us to the next level, but we ain't bold enough to say, I don't know, because it looks good saying and acting and feeling and perpetrating like we do. Oh, I know. Y'all know the people. Every time you bring them an idea, they, oh, I was just about to do that. You know, you can do this. Oh, I just had that conversation with my. What? What you paying me for? I just thought about that right before I got on this call. You know, I just had that dream. The other day, the Lord gave me this dream. So let me take y'all back for a little second. To tell y'all, how we feel?
All right.
How we feel? Let's clap, y'all. So for me, I come from a place, born and raised in New Orleans. I saw my mom get shot when I was 9. Oh. It's all right, she's still here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God for that. But what happened was, after that, I understood. In my mind, for some reason, violence then became acceptable. Mm-hmm. We're talking about deliberately dismantling beliefs. So I was put in the environment where I felt like a certain way to act and a certain way of thinking. I went from, I don't want to thrive, I just know what it takes to survive. Those are two different thought processes. And so then at 16, I go to prison for attempt murder. Why? Because violence was a prerequisite to survive. At least I thought. But then in prison, of all places, trapped, get exposed to the stock market by a prisoner. That tells me I'm playing the wrong game, but he's sitting there with me. Tell me how that makes sense. God, you be doing a thing. You have a mysterious way of awakening us. So a seed was planted. And he said, Trap, y'all playing the wrong game. I said, what you mean we? Mind you, was a white man. So I don't know. I was like, what? Oh. Bro, you in here with me. What you talking about? But he showed me something. He showed me that he was in there for $2.8 million. He paid restitution on $8 million. He paid restitution on $800,000 and kept $2 million. I said, oh, I am playing the wrong game. What you do? Obviously, what I got going on ain't it. But he said, it ain't about that. He said, wealthy people, you do some things a little bit different. The shooting and the killing messes up the money. You can't make no money like that. You're making a coroner rich. Making a funeral home rich. I said, well, since I'm in New Orleans, maybe I'll get out and start a funeral home rich. Seems like the right thing to do. Business is booming. Sadly enough. We say, nah. Wealthy people first learn how to stop working for money. I said, well, what other way do you make it if you ain't working for it? Second thing is, they stop trading time for money. I said, wait up, so you're not working for it, you stop trading time for money, but you know how to print money? Do you got a machine? Because I'm really in the wrong business if you got a money printer. Then he said, wealthy people learn how to give value to people. Because if you can give value to people, you will never be broke. Mm-hmm. And then he gave me this little pyramid that said, stocks, business, real estate. That's all you need to stay wealthy. So me, I'm a sponge. Like right now, I am the ultimate student in life. If you show me something, I am willing to go in a room and say, I don't know. I don't leave the room with, yeah, man, you know, I'm eight figures. Yeah, you know, I got this much in the stock market. I go in a room like, no, what can you teach me? See, we pride ourselves on what we know. We pride ourselves on our accomplishments. And we don't realize that our biggest hurdle in life is overcoming our own arrogance. It's our biggest hurdle. Because when you come from nothing and then you become something, you stand on it. It becomes your throne. And to get dethroned, to discredit what I've overcome is what? How dare you? You don't know what I've been through. I realize you ain't been through enough. That would just break even. Break even sometimes can be the most fatiguing. So during my 10 years in prison, I learned about the stock market and I realized that, Trap, you really are playing the wrong game. Because the true essence of wealth is more than money, it's freedom. What does that look like? Freedom of time, freedom of location. How many of us, you know, we took a vacation and you gotta get back to the business. Or you gotta leave a vacation early because you gotta get back to the job. You ain't got enough. So, and I started realizing that even entrepreneurs can be slaves to their business.